If you want to turn over with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, as I began to read through chapter 2 here at the beginning, you know, Paul models endurance for us in 2 Timothy here. He talks about endurance as he writes to Timothy. He writes this letter from a prison, you know, and he is an aged, war-torn apostle. But what I see what the apostle is doing is that he's enduring until the end. And that's what he's trying to tell Timothy to do, is that he has to endure to the end. You know, many of us go through life. Many of us have hard times in life. Many of us struggle through life. But again, the Apostle Paul and Timothy tells us to endure. You know, and he goes through here. He has three different images to illustrate: a good soldier, an athlete, and a hardworking farmer. And you know, what was Timothy dealing with at this time? Timothy was the pastor of a church filled with problems. And I'm so glad that churches today don't have problems anymore. We're good there. You know, we go through the same thing that Timothy went through, the same thing, you know, and that's why the Word of God can come to life to us. You know, I think Timothy was criticized for his youth. You know, he talks about that later on. Many were probably jealous of him. And then a lot of people compared him with others. You know, people were comparing Timothy with the Apostle Paul. And we all have our own different spirits and our different attitudes and our different life. And again, we can't compare to one another. You know, we need to pay attention to the continued emphasis here at the beginning of chapter 2 on the gospel that he talks about as he's teaching Timothy. So again, because of the importance of preserving and passing on the gospel, we must endure. And because of the hope we have in the gospel, we can endure. So this morning I'm going to give you four challenges for a gospel-centered endurance. And the first challenge is to live the gospel. We talked about it a little bit last week, but in verse 1 it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You know, if Timothy is going to endure, it will be because he is strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It has nothing to do with us. The only way we can endure in this life is through the strength that we have in Christ Jesus. You know, I guarantee you each and every one of us could use that strength today. Each and every one of us could use the strength that is in Christ Jesus and quit relying on ourselves. You know, Paul urges Timothy to live the gospel, the enabling grace that flows from our union with Jesus Christ. Paul does not tell Timothy, you know, just be strong or pull up your bootstraps and work on it on your own. You know, that is of no help. He tells him to be inwardly strengthened by the grace that is in Christ. The grace of Christ empowers of all the exhortations of chapter 2. And we cannot live out of these charges apart from his strength. You know, one of the refreshing things I find in the life and writing of Paul is his constant emphasis on grace. And, you know, I would think the Apostle Paul would be one of the, you know, he said he was the chief of sinners. You know, turn over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. The Apostle Paul talks about grace time and time again. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. You know, the Apostle Paul is praying that the thorn in his flesh be taken from him. And verse 8 says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." You know, there's many times in life we pray for something to be fixed. We pray for something to change. We pray for something to happen. But you know what? Verse 9 is what we need to realize. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." My grace is sufficient for thee. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." The Apostle Paul realized the grace of God. The Apostle Paul was living a horrible life. And when the Lord Jesus Christ told him what he did for him on the cross of Calvary, he realized that his strength was in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, how can we endure? You know, we have that same sort. Be strengthened by the Lord and by His vast strength. You know, our strength is not how long we've been a Christian, or how much we know about the Bible, or how long we've been in ministry. You know, that's all on our own accord. But our strength comes in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Our strength is derived from our union with Jesus and is supercharged by our daily walk and talk with Jesus. It's an ongoing thing. It's a daily thing. And you know, remember that there is a fountain of grace in Jesus. And you know, I was thinking of Jehoshaphat. He prayed, "For we are powerless before this vast number that comes to fight against us. We do not know what to do, but we look to you." You know, we are powerless on our own. We can do nothing on our own. But through the grace that we have in Christ Jesus, we can be very powerful. Christians who make an eternal difference in this world are those who learn to rely upon God's strength and not their own. You know, David Livingston once commented on all the work that Charles Spurgeon would do in a typical day. And if you know Livingston, he was no sluggard. But he asked the Prince of Preachers how he could do it all. And Spurgeon said, "You have forgotten there are two of us. God's presence in us supplies what we need to endure." There's two of us. And if you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's two for you that can give you the strength, that can build you up. You know, how do we experience this strength? How do we live the gospel? You know, I think it begins with realizing what we already possess as a Christian. In 2 Peter 1:3, it says, "By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence." Fight like a victor, not like a victim. We are victorious. We have already won the battle. Again, how do we live the gospel? Seek the Father in prayer, asking Him to strengthen you with power through His Spirit in the inner being. You know, in Ephesians 3:16, it says, "He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man." And lastly, we need to meditate on God's Word. You know, when you open the Bible, there is grace coming to you through personal devotion. Hearing the Word read and preached and singing it. Meditate on the gospel daily, because you will never outgrow your need for it. My challenge number two is, we must pass on the gospel. In verse 2, the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, "And the things that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You know, if you go back to chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwelleth in us." You know, it's about this guarding of the gospel. It's guarding it and it's protecting it, but at the same time, we have to pass it on and we have to share it. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ gave the gospel to the Apostle Paul. He did not make up the message. It was passed on. It was passed to him. And again, we're passing it on as ourselves. You know, Paul passed on the gospel to Timothy. And he says here in verse 2 that this message is what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. This message was the basic message Paul taught publicly in churches everywhere. And what Timothy heard was that Timothy was to now speak. And this is the same charge for every teacher. And we have to keep passing on the gospel. Thirdly, Timothy was to entrust the message to other men. And that word commit is the same word that Jesus used when He cried out from the cross. "Into your hands I entrust," or "commit my spirit." Just as the Son knew His life was safe in the Father's hands, so Timothy was to put the gospel into safe hands. You know, there's two qualifications here in this verse. They have to be faithful men, and they must be able to teach. You know, these two qualifications speak directly of the life of pastors who are called to be men of godly character and have the ability to teach. You know, if you think about it, when Timothy was entrusted to the message to faithful men and to teach others also. Paul's message went from a hole in the ground back in Rome to where we are today, to where I am teaching in Alabama, Fairhope, Alabama, teaching the Word of God. And if the rapture does not come in the next 100 or 200 or 300 years, we all feel like it's closer and closer, and that's fine. But the question is, will the gospel be around in another 2,000 years? And it's committed to each and every one of us to share that with others, as Paul and Timothy have done 2,000 years ago. You know, many people practiced verse 2 here, teaching and being committed to it, being committed to the gospel and sharing that with others. You know, later on in chapter 2 here, he talks about Timothy is charged later in this letter to teach, and then later in chapter 4 to preach. And you know, we understand the importance of public teaching and preaching to both believers and unbelievers. But here in verse 2, this exhortation to commit to faithful men seems to be a third type of instruction. You know, it's more of a personal and an intimate relationship to lead and guide others. You know, I was thinking about it this way. If you take anybody here play golf? So think about golfing. You have woods, you have irons, and you have putters. And you know, if you take the woods, they're big and showy and impressive. And that is like preaching publicly. You are able to cover a lot of ground and talk to lots of people. Then you have the irons. They require finesse and accuracy. And irons are like a classroom or smaller group where you get feedback and dialogue. But then there is the putter. This is a club that poor golfers misunderstand and so often fail to practice. It is personal. It is for short distances. So I liken that to this of the verse 2 here, the third degree. And you want to know which of the three clubs are more important? You need all three clubs in the bag. You have to play with all three. But you know, my observation has been that many pastors have a pulpit ministry and sometimes a classroom ministry, but few use their putter. But good golfers remind poor golfers like me that you drive for show and you putt for dough. You know, we've got to have that relationship. We've got to, you know, verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. We've got to pass on the gospel. And each and every one of us are called to do that. Each and every one of us are called to share the gospel. Challenge number 3 is to endure for the gospel. If you see 3 through 7, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The farmer that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You know, for the Apostle Paul to inspire Timothy in his ministry, Paul uses these three simple images. Again, the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. The dedicated soldier in verses 3 and 4, Paul was very familiar with Roman soldiers. He was in prison more than once, and he notes that a good soldier is known for his focus and willingness to suffer. And he tells Timothy to endure hardship. You know, Christ has not called us to a life of ease. You know, just because you're a believer, just because you believe in the Word of God, yes, we know where we're going. And when we pass from this life onto the next, it will be a life of ease. But in this life, we have to endure. We have to suffer at times. We have to struggle at times. You know, by the grace that is in Jesus Christ, we're called to put on a helmet and stay in a battle until our commander says that the war is over. And then he adds in verse 4 that the good soldier does not get entangled in the concerns of the civilian life. You know, he seeks to please the recruiter. Soldiers live with the awareness that a war is going on. And so many times we get tied up in our worldly lives, in politics and in money and in greed and things that are happening around us, when the only one matters, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're not doing things for eternal purpose, then many times we're wasting our time. You know, in verse 5, it talks about the athlete. And another version says, an athlete cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. You know, the disciplined athlete. Once again, Paul draws on an analogy with which he was familiar with. Back then, they had different athletics competitions. As a leather worker, he was a tent maker. Paul would have been around the Greek games often. You know, when you think about it, an athlete must train. He tells Timothy elsewhere, train yourself in godliness. You know, there are no shortcuts in sports, and it requires discipline. If athletes can train and compete for trophies and men's applause, how much more should we train and sweat for that which is eternal? We aren't earning merit. We are serving with passion and integrity because we love God, and we do this in response to what He has done for us. And then lastly, he goes on to the hardworking farmer. Again, same thing as the soldiers and the farm, or as the athletes. Farmers can't take any shortcuts. Farmers can't grow their crops any faster. They can't speed it up. They must toil every day. You know, and I guess the difference with the illustration from the farmer and the athletes and the military, it's not glorious or exciting. You know, the farmer is not applauded by fans or civilians. He does not call a press conference when he grows a big pumpkin. He just does his job. He just works. You know? And you know, many times in the ministry, it can feel like we're just not growing or we're not building or we're not getting anywhere. But again, it's just steady work. Steady work for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, slow, careful, faithful ministry eventually produces, again, because we reap what we sow. If you turn over with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Again, we will reap what we sow. Just like the farmer. He can't plant corn and grow soybeans. Doesn't work that way. We reap what we sow. And my last challenge for you this morning is to remember the hero of the gospel. You know, in verse 8, he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David. Again, it all centers on Jesus Christ. Everything centers on Jesus Christ. No matter what we're enduring today, no matter the struggles we're going through today, no matter the hard things in life that we're going through today, remember Jesus Christ. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You know, in order to endure to the end, through the good seasons and difficult seasons, believers must never lose sight of Jesus Christ. You know, and you say, well, that's silly. We all know that. But I think many times we can get steered off. We can miss a Sunday. We can miss two Sundays. And we can say, well, it's not a big deal. We can miss our devotion time. We can miss our time. We've got to keep our life centered on Jesus each and every day. Remembering Jesus involves keeping both his person and his work central. You know, Paul here says that Christ is risen from the dead and descended from David. And here Paul affirms Christ's person as fully divine, risen from the dead, and fully human, descended from David. You know, if you're ever struggling and having a tough time, when your tank is empty, remember that the tomb is empty and the throne is occupied. We can endure anything if we have sufficient motivation and power. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about, you know, his gospel and my gospel. You know, the Apostle Paul experienced the transforming power of Jesus Christ. You know, if you think of what Jesus, what the Apostle Paul, he went from being a terrorist to an evangelist. And the only reason that was because of Jesus Christ. The only reason the Apostle Paul changed was because of Jesus Christ. Paul encourages Timothy with this reminder that he is enduring suffering with this vision of Christ. You know, in verse 9 it says, "It is for the hero of the gospel that he is suffering to the point of being bound like a criminal." You know, the Apostle Paul was in jail multiple times. He was beaten multiple times. But he continued to endure. It didn't matter what the Apostle Paul went through. It didn't matter what he was struggling with. As he wrote this from prison, the Apostle Paul wrote this from prison. And he told Timothy to endure. Verse 10 says, "So I'm willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen." You know, so I hope and pray that is our goal today. Yes, many times we're going to go through hardships. Many times we're not going to like what the Lord has laid for us to do. Many times we're not going to even understand it. We lose a loved one. We lose a job. Something happens in our life. But the Apostle Paul said, "I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus." Whatever we do, we have to live the gospel. We must pass on the gospel. We have to endure for the gospel. And most importantly, we must remember the hero of the gospel. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord. We just thank you that you sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins. That 2,000 years ago that you were willing, that you could have called the 10,000 angels and said, "No, I don't want to do this." But the love that you had for us held you on that cross of Calvary. That through your Son we can have eternal life. And that we pray that through everything, through our endurance, through our suffering, that we can bring salvation and glory to you. Because that is what we are called to do, Lord. We just thank you and pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.